All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J to start your day on 92.9 FM ESPN. Happy Thursday to you. Good morning, Memphis in the Mid-South. I'm still getting used to, believe it or not, being a morning show. We're halfway through the year. Been a morning show for about, 6 months. Feels weird to say good morning. Even though we used to come on, we used to start in the morning at 11. Felt like we were an afternoon show. But good morning to you all. I'm going to be honest with you. My head's still spinning. And I told Brad that, my beloved executive producer and boss, program director number one in the country. Right? Number one in yards. Give yourself a round of applause on this Thursday.
Okay. Thank you for the juice, brother. Same to you and all the juice to you.
Bro, I told you yesterday that my head was spinning from all the free agent signings and everything. We were trying to keep up with rosters. You were doing a much better job of it with me than I was. I was trying to remember who plays center for Utah, the fact they still had Nurkic. Understandable, because there was so much
movement,
action.
Yeah.
And it continued after we got off. Jaylen Brown.
What in the world, bro?
Dealt.
What in the world?
By the Boston Celtics to the rival 76ers. We hadn't talked about them as a possibility.
No.
What in the world is Celtics president Brad Stevens thinking? Santi Aldama. Dealt. Brad, repeat. You couldn't hear it. Go ahead and repeat it. Dealt.
It's
the key word today.
Dealt. Deal me.
Zach Kleiman cleaning house.
I mean, he is unloading the gas, the whole chamber here.
Because at this point, Jonah Dillon pointed out in his story about this over the commercial field, 21-year-old G.G. Jackson is the longest tenured member of the Grizzlies.
I'm
looking straight ahead to make sure that came out correctly.
It came out right.
Because you like to clip things up.
I don't like to. No, it's great for promotion.
I'm messing with you.
It's actually, it's my title.
I'm going to say it again. 21-year-old G.G. Jackson is the Grizzlies' longest tenured member. Now that Santi Aldama has been traded to Dallas.
Wow, that's crazy, bro.
There's a couple of things with a couple of details with that trade. We will certainly talk about as we break it down today. How about this one? Bosnia Herzegovina dealt with.
Let's go. Let's go. Now, that was fun. That was a fun deal, Jason.
I know you were waiting to see how high up I would have that in the priority list. Brad has on his red, white, and blue today.
I'll put myself on camera here on the
He's got his red, white, and blue on today. He's very excited to come in here and talk about the U.S.'s 2-0 victory.
Look at that.
We were down a man, Brad.
We got screwed on that call, by the way.
Take that, Bosnia Herzegovina.
Herzegovina!
They tried to play physical with us.
They did. They were pressing us early, and yet we didn't yield.
We added a goal, down a man. Now, we were robbed.
Yeah, we kind of were robbed.
I'm interested to see what you think of the VAR decision, VAR decision. Is that what we call it in soccer?
Yeah.
VAR, VAR. He went up.
The problem is they slow it down, and it looks more gruesome when you slow it down.
That's a good point. Flo Balogun, red card, our top scorer, out.
Ugh.
For the round of 16 against Belgium because of this call.
Not good.
Right? And so we were dealt a blow, certainly for the next round. That said, the Americans go through. We're red, white, and blue today as we get set to celebrate Independence Day, our country's 250th birthday. My gosh, couldn't be feeling more patriotic than we were after that win last night.
Right.
Although I would say they're trying to cheat us. We'll talk about that. Before we get to all that, let me set up the show. I mentioned him earlier. We'll talk to Jonah Dillon in his usual Thursday spot. Very grateful for that from the commercial appeal. He doesn't just cover Tigers football, and he's got a story up about college football and, frankly, the group of six and the contenders in the group of six. Brad, includes your – you're not repping them today. You're repping USA, but it includes your UNLV.
Oh, yes.
And they're among those contenders.
Very familiar.
Boise State. Obviously, Memphis will play both of those. And then you've obviously got those Tigers. Where's South Florida on that list? Jonah Dillon's got that up. But he's also been doing a lot of Grizzly stuff. Pitching in over there at the commercial appeal does a ton for them, along with DeMichael Cole. They do a great job. And he wrote about the Santi Aldama trade. So we'll talk a bunch of stuff with Jonah Dillon. He does it all for the commercial appeal. Again, the Santi Aldama trade, college football, group of six contenders, who's coming out, who can get that spot in the college football playoff. We'll talk about all that with Jonah Dillon at 10 a.m. At 11 a.m. we'll do the rundown. Brad, was it just me or we have a couple of damn fools climb the Empire State Building yesterday? Now, I think you referred to them on Facebook as crazy bastards.
I think dumb bastards.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was crazy bastards. Let me go to Facebook.
Crazy, because really, well, crazy is the first word that comes to mind when you see two people, and I was about to say white people, but it was just two people.
No, they were white as hell.
It's two people.
Let's call them white.
On top of not on the observer deck.
Yeah. No.
They're on top of the radio tower. The radio tower on top of the Empire. Could not believe what my eyes were seeing.
I have a lot of insight on this because the first thing I thought about was the radio tower.
I can tell. Your first concern was
ass.
The signal.
Fry their ass.
Brad's
Leave it
first
on.
Concern was the signal.
Don't go to the auxiliary tower, Z100. Leave that sucker on.
So we have to talk about that story in the rundown because you'll have insight
on it. Can't wait.
And then there was something that I couldn't believe. It's one thing to climb the tower. What the man did. Man and woman.
Man, and then a proposal right after it.
Well, you're giving it away, but for those...
Well, no, we'll tell it again. We got two hours. So.
I think it's that. We got Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce getting married. I think on Friday. We got a proposal on top of the Empire State Building, literally on top of the tower. Might be a lot of news, but we'll have some sports, certainly, especially with all the free agents.
Yes.
There in the rundown. And then 11:25, as you can tell, I'm very excited about today's show. We've moved him up. We'll talk to the great Anthony Sane. Moved up from his usual day tomorrow. It's much appreciated. We'll talk Jaylen Brown trade. We'll talk Zach Kleiman cleaning house. Remember this. Mm. It's not just the roster.
Mm.
Where Gigi's the longest tenured member. He cleaned house from the sports medicine training staff, too. Remember that. But we know that from DeMichael Cole's reporting.
Yes.
Of the commercial appeal.
Yes.
That it's a completely different roster and also a completely different approach, perhaps. Remember, they hired Mike Curtis, but they cleaned house, according to DeMichael Cole. And so Zach Kleiman has really.
Except for the coach. He'll be back.
The coach and Zach Kleiman and Tayshaun.
Tayshaun's still in the office. Probably, I'm sure Rich Cho's still up in there.
And I'm sure Robert Parrish smiling over it all. But here's Zach Kleiman clearly getting a second chance. We touched on this a little bit. There's nobody else to look to and point fingers at now. And when we can talk about, you know, what's next. But everything in terms of pressure, everything in terms of accountability, it's all on Zach Kleiman right now. And especially, again, you clean house in the sports medicine training staff, so you can't question that anymore.
No, even
and
your
this
medical
roster
people.
On the second time through each step will obviously be questioned and analyzed and everything else, and that's why at this point I kind of like it because it's clarity. There's only one man to answer for what's happening now all the rest of the way, and if the rebuild doesn't happen quickly, we'll all be looking certainly squarely at Zach Kleiman. So lots to get to, obviously today. I do think Zach Kleiman has been playing a little bit of chess here this offseason so far instead of checkers. We'll talk about that. We can talk about what's ahead for him and how closely we'll be watching. But I tell you what, these last couple of weeks have been star marks for him. And it's not just us, ESPN, The Athletic, everybody else. Yeah. We'll get to it. So lots to get to, like I said. Let's start with the shocker first, and then we'll come back to the Aldama trade. Boston's, because it shook things up in the East. Mm-hmm. And, Brad, I'm curious what you thought. What they got this late on the Gabe Kuhn show, right? Broke about 5-something. And so this is something we're all still, Jeffrey will be reacting to it, too. But nuts and bolts we can do here because it's still fresh, certainly, on this Thursday for us. Celtics agreed to send former NBA Finals MVP Jaylen Brown, couldn't believe my eyes, to the Philadelphia 76ers in a blockbuster trade. Always have to make sure it's not the fake Shams.
Right.
That you're not getting you faked out, especially on this one. A blockbuster trade Wednesday for Paul George, two first-round picks in 2028 and 2031, and two second-round selections, 2028 and 2030.
Yep.
Kept looking for, is there more with just two first-round picks?
Yeah.
Brown's future in Boston had been questioned for weeks. We knew that. The Celtics attempted to trade him and two unprotected first-round picks to the Bucks for Giannis Antetokounmpo, but Milwaukee instead agreed to a trade with Miami. I'll insert here. That's when, seemingly, they got desperate. And we questioned, why are they this desperate? Right now, at all the sports books and even in our minds, the Celtics still the favorites to win in the East. You've won a title with these two. Certainly, surely, if there are, and we had talked about it with Ja, but here you had won a championship. If there was any chance at reconciliation, surely cool-headed Brad Stevens that had come out publicly and talked about how much they value Jaylen Brown, even though he had dangled him, clearly, in attempts to get Giannis, right? Surely it could be worked out. And yet what we found out is they were desperate after missing out on Giannis. Remember, this started as the Celtics want four, maybe five first-round picks. Look at what they ended up settling for here, Brad Carson. We can talk about what Jaylen Brown is, but let's talk about what the Celtics are are getting back here. Paul George, at this point in his career, who last year served a 25-game suspension for PEDs, right? Trying to
get the juice going.
Now, when he was on the floor,
yeah,
he was effective. But for the most part, it's a former star at the end of his career that you're bringing in at 36 years old. I know he's a 9-time All-Star, averaged 16-5 in the games that he was out there, the 2 years in Philly. That said, it was just 78 games. So you're bringing in a guy that may or may not play for you. Jaylen Brown is your heart and soul, Brad. I know you may have felt a certain way about him in terms of your front office. And more importantly, and Shams has pointed this out, may have felt a certain way about having to extend him.
There you go.
And further invest in a guy who seemingly, at least what he was saying publicly, was
a D-head.
D-head, I don't know. Some of the arguments, man, the way folks were coming at him about his value, I questioned, did some of these guys have an agenda? That said, some of the things he said, Brad, where I will defer to you on, because I didn't think it was smart. You're saying this was your favorite season,
right?
And Jason Tatum was gone, man, like you want a team, but, you know, like you want it to be your team. Now, that's rough. That can ruffle some feathers, and certainly with the guy who's coming back, the brother we thought he was when you guys were winning the title together, maybe there's always been a beef between them, Brett. And maybe that was part of this,
too. I think you're on it.
Maybe that was part of this, too. But let's get back to the point.
Yep.
Celtics didn't want to have to reinvest in that.
No.
So they get more and more desperate. And, again, after missing on Giannis, this return that you're getting, and maybe, Brad, there must be another move coming in terms of for the Celtics. And I've seen some reports out there that they've loved Trey Murphy,
yeah,
and now the New Orleans, you know, a guy that Memphis, the Grizzlies, could have had years ago,
yeah,
a guy, big wing that can shoot the three, has been good for New Orleans, but in a bad situation. Apparently Boston really likes him. Maybe they've got the assets to do it. I still don't like,
yeah,
moving on again from what I know, which is that this is a championship formula. Now, again, maybe Jaylen Brown had pushed Brad Stevens so far in the corner in terms of the comments afterwards and everything else that when Brad goes back to his boss, you know, and they say, look, do we want to try to smooth this over? If we do, part of smoothing it over is going to be extending him the contract. We're in for good. So no matter what, because I'd won a title, right? This is not asking Ja Morant to be a pro or whatever else, or be on the floor for 65-plus games, and let's hope it comes together. And again, a former core that had won just one playoff series, you're hoping. This is something you've seen with the two of them. And so I always thought in the end that working it out was better here. Folks are giving this a D. I can't find anybody that likes it for the Celtics. Maybe they'll like it better if they bring in Trey Murphy. But, Brad, they've become a worse team. The 2028 first-round pick could convert from a first to a swap that is more favorable for Boston. We'll talk about the picks. The 2031 selections, because they're certainly important, and an unprotected Philadelphia first. The 2028 second-round pick is the most favorable of the Warriors, Thunders, and Bucks. Shams laid this out as if he was almost trying to make the case that, again, that this is – can still work out to be a good thing for the Celtics. Then the 2030 second rounder is the most favorable of the Wizards, Trailblazers, and Suns. But I don't see it. Right now, it drops the Celtics, and we had talked about them. They had been the favorites in the East at all the sports books. It dropped them down to third. I don't know if that's where they're going to end up. If that's where they're going to end up, let me double check that. John's our sportsbook man.
NBA futures on ESPN has them second at +425.
Second, not third. Second. They dropped from first to second.
Philly right behind them.
But you moved Philly up significantly.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that's what I saw originally, second, and me thinking that was too high, bringing in Paul George, who you're banking on to play,
mm-hmm,
to hold up
a bunch of games.
36 yeah, years old.
Mm-hmm.
This one's unfortunate. We talked about maybe egos can mess some things up, and maybe Jaylen Brown's ego forced Brad Stevens' hand here.
Yeah.
But I still think, if I'm Brad Stevens, I prefer to stick with what I know. Because this, while we've lauded him a long time as a great front office man, this could be, and others have speculated, this could be a way down that they never come out of.
Right.
You know, and there's no promise. You get Trey Murphy, everything now, with Paul George, everything looks better, mm-hmm, or you're second in the East. I don't know, man. You think they're still second in the East with what they've got and what the rest of the East has done?
No. I don't think so. I don't think they're second. I think they're much lower than that. At present before, if you were to just to trot this out in 3 or 4 months and they don't make any more moves, you know, that's what we're waiting on.
What about it for the 76ers?
So I think that the clearly...
Because you love Tyrese Maxey.
I think 76ers should win the East, in my opinion, with this lineup.
Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
Tyrese Maxey.
That's the one.
B.J. Edgecombe.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid. Now, Brown and I don't put any weight in style or stock into this, but Jaylen Brown called Embiid a flopper after the Philadelphia Sixers. They'll work that out very quickly.
Yeah, they're the best team,
frankly, because you've traded him to a rival,
mm-hmm.
Embiid and those guys are going to be able to get behind the will and the soul and the want to beat the Celtics that is Jaylen Brown. Like, he can very quickly be their leader. Embiid's probably going to be like, dude, you go do it.
Right.
You know, they'll very, very quickly fall in line behind him, because that's the other part for Brad Stevens. You know, in this, hey, maybe you do get Trey Murphy. Maybe you do finish second in the East. But what if Jaylen Brown makes the 76ers so good that they're the ones that are putting you out?
Right. That's a bad
look.
He'll
have to answer for that.
Of course.
And he'll have to say, well, listen, I didn't pay Jaylen Brown. Boston will say, we won championships with him. He was our finals MVP. See, that's the way this could still come back and haunt him, is you've, in many ways, rewarded a division rival that put you out. And maybe push them above you. I know folks have got them third. The sportsbooks have got them third behind the Celtics. Yep. They might be better than the Celtics.
There's a good chance they're going to be better than the
Celtics.
I think so.
Who's the Dean Wade they brought in to play the four from the Cavs?
Yeah.
See, I don't like him as the starter next to Embiid. I mean, he'd be a great reserve. He's a good defender.
Sure.
He can step outside as a four man. They added mm-hmm. him in free agency. I tell you this. What about LeBron James, like on a vet men or mid-level there?
I mean, it's done.
And you could start him ahead of Dean Wade. That to me is better than Golden State without a big four that he fought. If it's just Steph and Draymond and LeBron and Jimmy Butler, that's not as good as what Philly would be. If you could get LeBron to take whatever it is. He says money is not a factor.
That's what he says.
If you could get LeBron to take that, imagine starting LeBron at the four there and LeBron and think about the way that you could keep him healthy, we'll say load management through the year, because you've got you got Tyrese, you got Jaylen Brown. Those guys can take over. Edgecombe. Yeah, everybody's talking about if he wants to win a championship, go to the Spurs.
Yeah.
They've still got young guys. Yes, they made a finals appearance. They're still inexperienced. What? That Philly situation looks ready-made.
It's really good.
And right now, they paid Dean Wade to be, it looks like, the starting four, but you could go get, I don't care. I know what I just gave Dean Wade. I could make LeBron James my starting four, maybe for less at a discount, selling him on championship, and I know that would push me back past the Celtics, and then Brad Stevens will be in hell in Boston, because, again, it's not just what happens with the Celtics and its roster, what you do with these picks. It's, did you just crown Philly in the East that he'll have to face? It's dangerous, man. I do understand the other side of this. I don't want to say that I don't get it. Like, Jaylen Brown had put you in a position that was getting tough, because, again, he's eligible for that extension, and you're having to go, hundreds of millions of dollars on a guy that could go off on you anytime. We think he's with the program. I'd ask you this. How many times did he criticize the Boston organization previously? Did he criticize them now in this? Has he come out publicly? He did say, I like that it's my team. It was my favorite. But did he criticize in any of this? He's been dangled before, apparently, reportedly, for Kevin Durant. Has he criticized the organization in a way that would say, man, he's a wild card, we got to get him out of here? Would you say yes to that? I would say no. While he does say some things that maybe are a little bit uncomfortable and could make, what you say to Jason Tatum and that still, has he been... Has he worked against the franchise publicly? I would question that. I guess Brad thinks so. Brad Stevens in this case.
Apparently Brad Stevens thinks so. I also think that Brad Stevens' role's different than the way that the Grizzlies may have handled Ja Morant. You know, we may not get to see a lot of this stuff, and he may be a wild card behind closed doors, and we just don't know it. But clearly, I think he's out. I think Brad Stevens is a straight shooter. I also swear by Brad Stevens, because this dude won a title in 24, and he's assembled this thing on the rebuild. And they obviously were not, they were not convinced they were going to pay Jaylen Brown. My thing is something that was pointed out just about 20 minutes ago, which is you didn't have to do it yet. You still have 3 months till the beginning of the season, and you still haven't seen all the cards in the poker game yet, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe you've got, I actually think that the Trey Murphy thing might be on the table. Maybe we're missing something still, because it just doesn't, this particular deal doesn't make sense so far. And clearly they hated Jaylen Brown, though, and clearly that there was a rift. I think that this just all points to that he was not part of their, what they view as their functional organization going forward.
You were clearly desperate to move him if you're willing to give him to a division rival. They're a franchise rival,
yeah.
The 76ers to Boston. I know it's them and the Lakers in terms of titles, but in terms of the East, that's a franchise rival. And so you have greatly increased their chances. After they just beat you in the playoffs last year, realize you were shorthanded in terms of Tatum just getting back and everything else. You have now perhaps crowned them in a city that hates and loathes, what's 200 miles away, that hates and loathes the 76ers. That's your, in the streets they say, that's your tail right there that's on the line that you've put up. So back to your, it better work out really well with Trey Murphy, because in the end, again, I know it's a lot of money, and it's a lot of investment in what you think is a wild card player who's ruffled a few feathers but still proved it. Was finals MVP when Jason Tatum was healthy and you were winning titles. The guy's still 29. I know he turns 30 in October, but you just added a 36-year-old. Maybe his love for Trey Murphy and just getting the few assets that he did out of this was enough to put it over the top, but I don't see anybody who's really, right now at least, until we know what the follow-up move, all the grades have been in the D's for the Celtics. And here in Memphis, the Grizzlies traded forward Santi Aldama and the draft rights to Tarik Babarovic to the Dallas Mavericks in exchange for A.J. Johnson, a protected 2030 Golden State Warriors first-round pick. More on that in a second, and those protections, and two future second-round picks, according to Shams. The 2030 first-round pick acquired from Dallas via Golden State is protected for picks 1 through 20. It will turn into a second-round pick if it is not conveyed. We'll talk about that. Aldama played in 43 games for the Grizzlies last season, averaged 14 points, 6.7 rebounds. He's a versatile forward who also shoots from the perimeter, converting on 35% from three. Memphis took Aldama 30th in the 2021 draft. Zach Kleiman picked there. And again, I mean, just G.G. Jackson now, in terms of longest tenured member on the roster, this roster has completely been flipped. Babarovic was selected by the Grizzlies 56th overall in 2023. Some, and if, you know, whether it's social media or whatever else, had hoped that at some point he would come over, especially in terms of his skills as a shooter and what he could potentially add. But he had remained in Europe while playing in the Turkish Super League. We'll see what happens with him now that he's in Dallas. Johnson has played two seasons in the NBA for three different teams. He's averaging 4.9 points, 1.5 rebounds per game. The Milwaukee Bucks select him 23rd overall in the 2024 draft. I figure he gets tossed out with the numbers right now the Grizzlies have. Dallas going to bring in Aldama's just 25 via the traded player exception created by dealing Anthony Davis to the Washington Wizards. Here's the key in this thing. We can talk about, you know, if this is a loss. I know some Grizzlies fans that were hoping that they could battle for a play-in. For those folks, you figure a guy that could play right now like Santi Aldama, you know, I saw some of them. They were critical of this. You know, they figured Santi Aldama was still useful. I will say this because we've talked about it. And Drew Hill pointed this out. By moving off Aldama, the Grizzlies will not have to use any of their $29 million traded player exception that they created via the Jaren Jackson Jr. trade to add Stewart to the roster. Preserving the large trade exception could theoretically still help Memphis facilitate future trades to acquire more draft assets or young players. That's the other part of this trade that's not necessarily on ESPN and those reports or whatever else. This is going to now allow you to keep Stewart right out of the huge $29 million and pay him on that mid-level. And so that's the other part. Now that you've traded Santi, you can do this. Remember, we thought you were going to have to use a portion of it beforehand, before this trade goes through. But according to this, you now have that still as an asset. Now back to Santi, how useful would he have been this year? You just drafted Cameron Boozer number 3. He's going right in as the starting power forward. Now Santi Aldama, we've seen him as a very useful backup 4 in this league, sometimes can move over to the 3. You can still look at him and say, well, that's useful for right now, but he's not on your timeline for right now. And if you're trying to get, we had said it too, about Kareem Lopez, if you're trying to get him on the floor, whether it's at the 3 or the 4, right, where you got Cam Boozer, you got guys like Isaiah Stewart now that could play. You could play Jeremy Grant up to the four. Then moving Santi Aldama out goes back to development and timeline and possibly creates an opening now for Kareem Lopez, who we said how he's got to play to develop. Maybe it'll have to be G League. How's he going to do it on the big roster? Well, now you clear out at least one of those guys that would have been ahead of him, certainly at the four spot, and we'll see what happens if they want to develop him into a three or not. So while I understand Santi useful, certainly would have helped you battle next year, whatever that looked like, I still would have thought, you know, battling for that play-in was going to be tough with this roster. Zach decided, no, I'm going to clean the whole slate. I'm going to send him out of here, get another first-round pick in this case. Clutch points gave it a B+. There's a couple of points in here. More so than the grade they get for the Grizzlies. More so than the grade, there's a couple of things in here, a couple of key points I think that are important. Considering how the Grizzlies have too many players to fill both front court spots, getting a deal like this must be very sweet. Sure, the first-round pick they acquired is a top 20 protected selection from the Golden State Warriors. There's a chance that this doesn't convey and it instead turns into a second-round pick since the Warriors are in decline. Nevertheless, getting three second-round picks for Aldama, someone who could get lost in the shuffle amid Memphis' rebuild, is a nice haul regardless. Memphis didn't even need to take on any long-term salary in return, which is an added bonus. Johnson, who hasn't been very good in his two seasons in the league thus far, may just end up being a casualty of Memphis' roster crunch. We talked about that. I think he's gone, the other part of it. With the Grizzlies embracing a full-scale rebuild, this is a solid enough return for a productive piece who doesn't fit their timeline. And if that Warriors pick somehow ends up at 21 overall, right, avoids the protection, this trade becomes even better for Memphis. They gave the Mavericks a C, taking in Santi Aldama, and they actually sort of questioned, well, when you got Gafford, Lively, P.J. Washington, and you just drafted Merez Johnson Jr., where does he go? You know, he's still clearly in a reserve role.
Yeah.
You know, what is the plan for him? So they gave him a C. But back to it for Memphis. When you consider that they didn't have to take on long-term salary to move off, You've maintained that huge trade exception for doing this now and can move in Stewart, keeping him off the $29 million trade exception. Yes, it's going to be ugly next year potentially in terms of on the court. I'm talking about wins or losses. If you were banking on them being a top six, a play-in, whatever else, forget about it. But understand, and I understand that, why would I want to buy season tickets for that? I get that point of view. But understand that whether it was Sam Presti, and I'm not saying Zach Lyman, Sam Presti, we've talked about it. He's getting a second chance, though. Whether it's Sam Presti, whether it's San Antonio, everybody that's up now has had to strip it down for the most part. Everybody that's way up has had to strip it down, especially in the West. You stripped it down first and had some bad years. San Antonio went 6 years, no playoffs. I don't think the Grizzlies could survive 6 years, no playoffs from the standpoint of, my gosh, I wonder what the attendance would be. I'm not talking about lease or anything else. That's about to be done. I'm just talking about, it'd be rough if you were down that long. You know what else would be happening? Zach Lyman would have to be gone. He would have to be gone. But this is what happens when you have what ended up being an unsustainable culture, right? A roster that at one point looked good but was too flawed or, in terms of what you put around it, wasn't good enough, went to youth a couple of times. You can put that on the players. You can put that on Zach Lyman. If you're going to do this right, you have to strip it all the way down. That's what they've done moving on from Santi Aldama and keeping a lot of this flexibility. Again, I would just say these last 2 weeks have been pretty good. Now, again, that is no promise that Zach Kleiman's going to hit all the right notes, but he has set himself up well in terms of flexibility that it doesn't have to be 6 years that you're out of the playoffs. It doesn't have to be tanking for a couple of years. I know you're not tanking to try to stay out of that bottom three because now the way the rules have changed. But my point is it doesn't have to look nasty for 5 or 6 years because of the way he set himself up. I think it was smart at this point on Santi's timeline. Go ahead and move off of him and acquire as many assets as you can. You're really setting yourself up with the flexibility financially, cap space, whatever else it seems like. Next summer, after you see what you've got with these young players, I mean, it's about development right now, but and then eventually you will push these chips in. I think it's a good plan so far, and I think Zach Kleiman so far has been really smart about the reset, doing it wholly, right? You literally just have G.G. Jackson now in terms of guys that he brought in. You're rebuilding a culture. Boy, we don't know if he's got the right coach. And we're going to find out if he's the right GM. Because, and you tell me if Zach Kleiman is getting this second chance after having a great core that finished second in the West twice because of his draft expertise. Now, we don't know that for sure because we never hear from Robert Pera. Now, maybe he's got a lifetime contract. Who knows? But my point would be, if you're making the case for Zach Kleiman, you're giving him this second chance after everything went bad. I mean, you had one of the best atmospheres in the NBA. You looked like to be on your way. It all fell apart. He's a young GM. You could have fired him there. They didn't. Probably because Robert Pera says, you know what? This guy in the draft's been fantastic for me. Perhaps he's learned his lesson. And what they've done is given him a clean slate. He's fully wiped. And in doing so, you've acquired enough assets, hopefully, Brad, to avoid how long it took OKC and San Antonio to get back to that point. Hopefully, Zach can be a genius and get it done in 2 or 3 years. But buckle up, because it's not going to be – there are going to be some tough nights in there as a West that's gotten even bigger. And in some cases, you know, you've – maybe even more dynamic. You've added LaMelo Ball with Minnesota. As they've gotten better, you've taken a step back. But I think in this case, a necessary one, when you consider the assets that they brought in to make the bounce back, to make your two steps forward here, a summer from now, yeah. Hopefully, whenever it is.
Yeah.
You approve of the move to move on from Santi? You don't look like it on your face.
I actually just don't know. It feels like what it tells me is that you're ripping it down, not just to the studs, all the way down to the piles. Like if you're in Destin, Florida, you've ripped the home down to where you just have those concrete pillars that hold it up off the water. You've got the platform. I think you might have kept a few of the studs just so that there's a house. But basically, you've gotten rid of everything in it to start over a whole new rebuild. Like, at a point there, I thought, well, you know, Santi will be a starter. And no, this is a absolute gutter. Like, and that's why there's no dudes on that picture that everybody's floating around there from the 22 season that are left. Because this is now Zach Kleiman 2.0. This is his second chance. And I think if you're Robert Pera, and this is speaking as somebody who, you know, we're all in leadership in this building. Mm. When you're in leadership, you hope that you learn lessons and you're given a second chance from the things that you're trying to do and that your best skills are used to the best of your ability. And I think that he's an elite drafter. And so maybe Robert Pera sees somebody that's really good at drafting players and is a talent there. I think he's a better drafter than Chris Wallace has been over the years, if you look at the record in a short amount of time, 7 or 8 years. If you include Jaren in that mix, because obviously he had some input on drafting Jaren Jackson Jr. So I would give him the benefit of the doubt there. My hope is that as an operator, and he doesn't have to operate the business portion of the Grizzlies because they've got people to do that. Mm. And all he has to do is lock in on operating this and having the right coach and the right program and the right medical people and the right drafted right. players
that's
part on the. So that's he's in charge of that. So that's Kleiman's move too. So what Kleiman has told you is, here's my second chance with this coach. Here's the next medical staff that I think we're not going to have any of this BS where we got players out all the time. And I realized maybe that wasn't it, but we're going to just do this.
I mean, it would seem to be an acknowledgement
yes.
of you don't like the way things have
like
gone
this.
The way they clean that house, or that
yes.
you have questions.
That's
these
right.
players, we got some of the most injuries that were most injured team in the NBA. You clean house. It would seem to be an acknowledgement.
You're telling
of
that this,
our
and that's okay.
Might not be good enough.
Yeah,
so
and
we
that,
want
and
to
I,
upgrade it.
I appreciate it, that. Like, that's what leadership is at the end of the day, is being able to say, you know, I was kind of wrong about that one, so I'm going to redo that one. But I just hope my whole question goes back to Isolo, because we're not going to
it could still be wrong.
Yeah,
yes.
Because and here's the other challenge with that. You're not going to get to see Isolo, and this is you're going to hear this all friggin' year, and I'm already dreading it. You're going to hear, well, can't really tell if Isolo's a good coach because he doesn't have any players. You're going to hear that. You're going to hear that
bro,
a million times
Brad,
this
Brad,
year.
They're tied together.
No,
Zach
I get it.
Isolo are tied together.
So it's just, but that whole thing infuriates me as a listener, because it's like, and a fan, because you're like, okay, I can see with my eyeballs. That's why I kind of wish Taylor was still here. But
you're going
I get
way
it.
Back. Now.
I know.
Well,
but I'm just speaking freely
that,
here.
That,
you know
that was done.
But the question was, do I think that this? Do I like the trade? I think so, because you're starting over. Yeah,
and you have to start over completely. I'm gonna bottom line it this way. Zach Kleiman built up something that looked good, right? We can put down the stats and everything else. Two straight number two finishes in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
That looked, you had a core that was dynamic that everybody in the NBA was talking about. But what you didn't have was a sustainable culture. That was part of it, too. And listen, then the collective bargaining agreement changes and paying and three maxes and the way you're paying, that changed it, too. But what we knew was the culture, while things looked good on the outside, it was unsustainable. In many ways, it was a front-running culture, right? And something that I think got out of his hands in terms of controlling it because, again, for a small market franchise, you got a guy like Ja Morant in here. You may never see his superstar potential again. We know that there was some, man, what are we? We got to make sure we keep this guy, right?
Like, yeah, we better, dad's got to be all
we
access.
We better not be too hard. Right. We better not be too hard here on right. We might make him mad at us, and he could leave us.
No rules.
Of course there was, and that becomes part of your culture,
right?
Ja starts lead the way, and Ja can run the play, do whatever he wants. What you ended up with was a bad one, and what Zach Kleiman has done here yeah. is he said, that was awful. Here's the thing. The NBA saw through it.
Right.
Remember by the end of it, you were being pushed around? Guys like Santi Aldama, I thought DeMichael Cole yesterday with me over on Grizzly
yeah.
made a great point. They were getting pushed around last year. Draymond was looking through them. The rest of the NBA saw through.
They saw that crap.
This what was
it was a mirage.
On the surface, yeah. a great core and everything else, they saw through it. They started pushing through it.
Great point.
This core that had only won one playoff series, but boy, had they done it boisterously.
Yeah.
Boy, did it look good in the highlights and that dunk over Malik Beasley. But it was all fake in the sense that Zach Kleiman has a hand in this. The culture was not strong enough, and the NBA started to see through it. And they pushed through it, and those guys, those players, each flawed individually, were all shipped out of here with a lot of the blame on them. And that's why I think I'm grateful now for clarity, because Zach Kleiman understood and was part of building that false culture, that culture that wasn't going to work in the NBA. It's got to be built stronger, and it's got to be built with guys who will push back. Remember? That's why you've gone out. Would you rather have Santi Aldama, or would you rather have Isaiah Stewart?
I'd rather have Isaiah Stewart.
As you're growing these young guys.
Great point.
Yeah. And you've got to make them tough.
Yeah.
Right? Was Santi one of those dudes? Was Jaren one of those dudes?
No.
You know, when you have Steven Adams around here that could step up for Ja Morant, that wasn't happening.
Remember
last
Desmond
year.
Bane getting at Santi in the playoffs and be like, yo, bro.
You know? Well, you shipped him off.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
point is about Santi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whether it was toughness, playing defense, yeah. whatever else, we always tried to toughen Santi up.
Yeah.
And while the numbers might have been decent, again, he wasn't this tough. He's not
thin.
Part of what has to be a strong new.
That's right.
We're not going to be pushed around culture that can't be a mirage. It can't be a front-running culture, right, that's all about the highlights
and
less about how strongly it's built. And so that's why you've torn it down to the studs, to your point. And here's the thing. It's not bare because you've brought a couple of guys, maybe Isaiah Stewart, maybe Jeremy Grant can be this early on. Ty Jerome is a guy who's a vet. You have enough left, you think, to what in terms of the vets that will aid what has to be a new culture, right? And then eventually you can they're not going to be a part of the timeline. You figure Ty Jerome ain't here for the long haul. But you have to rebuild not just the roster but the culture. And Zach Kleiman, in clearing this out, has acknowledged, you may not say it publicly, his hand in saying, boy, that one was too thin. They saw through us. And so he's going bigger, stronger, not going to be pushed around. We'll see if it works. You still got to, you know, we'll see what happens with the lead guard spot. There's still got all kind of questions there. But with all these assets now, you certainly have some paths to get back quickly. And there is no one to look at in terms of these things. If it's not back in 2 years, you can't blame Isolo because Zach Kleiman went out of his way to bring him in here. You can't blame these new players because Zach Kleiman, on getting a second chance, just went out and cleared the cupboard and brought back a whole new roster. It's all on him the rest of the way. And so that's clear. And the clarity is, again, something I appreciate because we've spent so much time, oh, Jaren ain't this, or Ja ain't this, or when's he going to be this? And in the end, Brad, it was a weak culture that was going to fail you in the long term, probably, inevitably, was at some point going to fail you. Well, now you've fully hit the button, Santi gone, and maybe, you know, you build something that's much more stronger. The way you build a house, you get a stronger foundation. You got to rip that thing down to the studs, get all the softness out. Build that thing back up hard. We'll see if Zach Kleiman can do that. But moving on from Santi Aldama, certainly part of that process. We're going to come back and finish our number one on what was a historic victory for the United States men's national team. We'll talk about what's next. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll jump back into the Grizzlies conversation. Jonah Dillon has the story about the Grizzlies trading Santi Aldama over at the Commercial Appeal. Also has Tigers football. Where do they rank in the group of six contender status for the college football playoff? All that with Jonah Dillon at the top of the hour. Anthony Sang going to join us 11:25. A lot more to do here on a Thursday on the J&J Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. Somewhere, Wren Baker, the athletic director of West Virginia, has his hat off.
My guy is.
If he's listening to the show.
He's had a good year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, went to the College World Series, right? Went to Omaha and everything.
Good year for Wren.
Good year for Wren Baker. We wish him well.
Lost a bunch of weight, too. Looks great.
He does. I'm fantastic. Former assistant, associate.
Yeah, associate AD here. Yeah. Did a lot for the university.
Moved on.
Yeah.
Who has moved on now. This is, you know, I was thinking patriotic.
Yeah.
And this is patriotic.
Absolutely. Did you see that scene?
It's an American song. Yes, I saw that scene. I was kind of in and out yesterday in terms of this World Cup win. I actually watched it over at Bayou.
Oh, fun.
In Overton Square.
Yeah.
Because the kid had a practice in Midtown. The issue was, in traveling over there, I missed the first score.
Yeah.
And I missed the last score when the U.S. was down a man. Mm. What I saw was the in-between of that, and included our man Flo Balogun.
Flo Balogun.
It once you get it, it rolls off the tongue, especially if you roll with the nickname Flo.
Absolutely.
Flo Balogun, when he got issued the red card, and what could end up being it's a devastating blow because he had been your leading scorer. He was issued a red card when video review showed that he'd stomped on the ankle of Bosnia's Tarik Muharmar. That was terrible. Nope.
Yeah, just go. Yeah, you're good.
Muharmarvic.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
While challenging for the ball. It's got an Ovic at the end of it.
You know.
That's the important part. Without Balogun, still down a man, 10 men for the last half hour of the game. U.S. held on for a victory. Malik Tillman, superb free kick in the 82nd minute. I'm reading from the Athletic story.
Love the Tillman kick.
Sealed it. It was just the second men's World Cup knockout round win in U.S. history. It's the first time since 2002. And the first in prime time, and the first to be greeted by gleeful celebrations at watch parties big and all across the country, was obviously with America as the host. It sets up an even bigger occasion, a round of 16 showdown with Belgium on Monday. This is the issue. Balogun, the team's leading scorer, missed that game because of this red card suspension. Did you think it was a red or a yellow?
I think it should have been a yellow card simply
Most
for the
Americans do
because of the it being inadvertent. It was not a malicious targeting, but what the unfortunate thing with the way they've got that VR now, when you go to that video review deal and you slow that son of a gun down, it looks brutal because it's an angle where his spike is going at the ankle like an ankle breaker. And so you think that it's worse than it was
in
real
time. He's got the video over there the referee's got the video over there to go on the side, look at it, and it gets slowed down.
Yeah.
And it started when you slow it down, it looks like it's a direct hit and it looks intentional.
Looks like an ankle biter.
That said, it was such a bang bang play. You just look at it, there's no way it could have been premeditated. It was a physical game.
Yes.
You know? And so I figured it, if anything, it deserved a yellow but not a red.
Agreed.
In this case, it is costly because Balogun, again, had been so good for you. As the Athletic points out, though, this is still history for the U.S., even in the spot that it's in, even if it doesn't advance past Belgium. We'll get to that. The U.S. has now won 3 games at a single World Cup for the first time ever. That win yesterday, too, snapped a years-long losing streak against European opponents. It had lost its last 10 against European opponents and hadn't beaten one in 5 years. And as we said, Flo Balogun, who'd really become the heart and soul of this team, I know we talk a lot about Christian Pulisic, and Christian Pulisic is fantastically talented, but Flo Balogun, who the U.S. recruited to play for this team. Recruited him coming out of the Qatar tournament with fans apparently aiding. I looked more into how we got him. Fans apparently had aided in terms of their all-out press on social media, a bunch of them, and he has shown to be worth it and has produced, 3 goals so far in this World Cup. Had one called back, too, yesterday before he got the red card. And so he's been an absolute stud. You see him do the LeBron push-down thing.
He's got that down.
He's been an absolute stud, so you're not going to have him against Belgium. He's New York-born, London-raised, has 3 goals. But he's playing for America. New York-born, London-raised, but playing for America, has tied for second most now goals in the World Cup with Landon Donovan in 2010 in a single tournament. Bert Patinad holds the U.S. men's national team record with 4 with his hat trick against Paraguay following a goal against Belgium. But obviously, the U.S. would have to get through Belgium for Balogun to be able to add to his total to try to go for at least the American scoring record in a World Cup. This match against Belgium, which will happen on Monday, it's a rematch of the famous round of 16 game in 2014. When 12 years ago to the day, Belgium beat the U.S. 2-1 in extra time. It's also a rematch, and others, soccer aficionados know this, experts know this, apparently of a friendly this past March. Maybe, Brad, you knew that too. I think they touched on a little bit yesterday when Belgium ran away from the U.S. in the second half and won 5-2. So we just played them in a friendly back in March, and they beat us 5-2. That said, FanDuel's got the USA as a minus 118. To qualify for the next round. DraftKings has got USA minus 130 to qualify. And so while you've struggled until last night against European teams of late, the last few years, the U.S. and won't have Balogun, the U.S. still favored to advance. Come Monday, that will be a 7 p.m. kickoff in Seattle.
Excellent. I am stoked because it'll be like a continuation of the 4th of July weekend for me. I'll go home, I'll get a cold one, and I'll watch Belgium and U.S. It'll be fun.
Will you...
My friend Garen Haddad, who's a big... he's got an HR company here in Memphis. He was at the game, and he's going to Seattle as well with his whole family. Traveling and watching. He's a huge soccer guy.
Let me ask you this. So it's just our second knockout stage win in history.
Mm-hmm.
Will it be... If this is it, what we've done so far, will yesterday be a remember where you were? I remember where I was when the United States knocked off Bosnia-Herzegovina.
I don't think so, but right. I think
that was,
this
that's
one
what I was
would
hoping
be.
You would say. No, that's where I was getting to.
Yeah. If you
is
get
now,
Belgium.
If you do this one.
Yeah.
With Flo Balogun out.
Yeah. Because you're at another level.
You're still a slight favorite, but then you're advancing to the final eight in the world.
Yeah.
You certainly didn't come in ranked anywhere near that.
No.
And so that would be getting to the eight would be it would send us into another level of
kind of a different tier there.
How
I think.
We feel about this.
Yeah.
Where we put it in our sports lives.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure.
Are we on the same? You think the same thing?
I think so too.
Yeah.
Like we're all proud. This was obviously history yesterday. It's the first time we've won 3 matches at a World Cup period.
Mm-hmm.
And yet to get to the, do you remember when the U.S. beat, and we advance. I remember I was
at this place.
We do that with John Moran. We do it with the 08 National Championship.
Yeah.
You got to – it's this next one against Belgium, you think?
I think it is, also it
or
is a
would
Monday.
It have to be further down?
I think it's
kind
of like
– it is a Monday night.
Let me put this in Memphis Tigers basketball terms. It took – 2008 is one we never forget. I remember being in my living room in Arlington at the time, and the first house that Stacy and I owned. I know how I was sitting. Stacy was I had a baby at the time. Jake was Stacy was pregnant because it was before the end of April. So Stacy was pregnant and I was freaking out watching that basketball game. That was the final. I don't even know if soccer registers at a level with me or with Memphis fans where it would take something like a Final Four.
I think for a major shift we'd have to get to
be a little more seismic.
To take on you know,
it can't be an Elite Eight. It's got to be Final Four.
Yeah.
So because, we're going Final Four.
Because so many of us are on the outside looking
in. Yeah, I don't
know
this
for
sport.
For it to sweep us.
Yeah.
And, man, you got your USA soccer shirt on. You look like a guy that halfway
you know when I had
me,
this on?
Who, me.
Who's the guy with the hairpiece that was on the set last night? The guy was in the last run that the U.S. He was next to Alexi Lalas. Homeboy from like 8 years ago was on the set. This was the year, 8 years ago, they had these white USA shirts. I'll put the camera on so people could see it. So I busted
pulled it out.
It pulled it out of the...
Dusted it off. Pulled it out today.
Let me see. U.S. soccer star with hairpiece. The fans will know. Landon Donovan.
Is it hairpiece or has he done a couple of transplants? I thought
I read all about this last night as a person losing his hair. So Donovan, he had a bad hair loss system that he tried where they do the surgery and it didn't take. So he had to do it again. And now he has an actual hair piece. And it is so obvious, bless his heart. But he owns it and he's been very public about this. He's struggled with it, I guess, and very open about his hair loss. They even made fun of it in the post-match yesterday. They're like, man, the odds of that were like my people not realizing my hair ain't real. He was making jokes about it on the set last night. So Landon Donovan was on there talking about his hair. They were the last team that I remember making a run for the U.S. But I don't remember where I was. I just remember I bought this shirt. And I think I might have bought it on clearance at Walmart.
He had three goals that World Cup in 2010. That's got to be the one you're talking about.
That
right?
was the
Man,
run.
Was going crazy.
So that was in 10. So that, sheesh, this thing's 15 years old, 16 years old.
There you go.
So
maybe you can get you another one. If they win another match, if they beat Belgium, maybe Brad will get another shirt.
I looked at one. They're $150 for those, dark navy ones.
A USA t-shirt from Walmart. Yeah, I'm not doing all that.
We ain't doing $150. I'll get me a new, maybe I'll get a Boozer jersey.
They're cheating us. With the red card to Flo Balogun, it should have been a yellow. I'll just say it.
You're an expert on this at this point. I mean, it's second nature.
Just because I've learned how to pronounce Balogun doesn't make me.
I enjoy it when you pronounce names like Balogun.
Well, I will say I was one of the first to master Tuomas Iisalo.
You nailed it. I mean, you were right there with him. I think you actually told the Memphis market how to pronounce
it. Because I spent time on it. I put some work into it.
And it's you get the yo part perfect. Because it's not too much or too little. You nail that name.
I appreciate that one.
Yeah.
One name I can certainly nail every time is Jonah Dillon
from
the Commercial Appeal. We're going to talk
nice
to him.
Nice transition there.
Thank you very much. Nice. On the other side of this break, we'll talk to him about the Santi Aldama trade. He's got a story up at commercialappeal.com about it. And then get into some Tigers football. Where do they fit in the Group of Six college football playoff contenders? All that with Jonah Dillon on the other side. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.